And all about him, amen. Boy, I love that testimony. I love that singing. Wasn't that awesome? Wow, that is great. Praise the Lord. It is great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. See if I get this. We're having trouble with our dish satellite system. So this is strange. So we called dish. They said somebody's going to be over in the afternoon. So Audrey was gone, and this fella came over. He had the dish truck and had the dish, all the official shirt and all that. He came to our house. He knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and he said, "Hey, what's this? What is that sign?" And we had a CEF sign right by the door. And I said, "Well, that's a Christian ministry. And my wife and I are involved in that." And so anyway, he came in the house. He said, "Can I sit on the couch and you tell me what the ministry is all about?" I said, "You bet I'll tell you what it's about." So he sat down on the couch, and this is weird, but I think he was there a half hour. And he called me yesterday out of the blue, and what ended up happening, he learned about CEF. He had a degree in media from Indiana University. I told him about it. He said, "I want to know more." This was 8 years ago. A couple of days later, he came over to the house, and Audrey and I had strawberries. He brought his mother-in-law, his wife, his two kids, we talked more. He called CEF, and to make a long story short, they hired him full-time in media, and he's been traveling around the world in CEF. And he didn't even know what CEF was. So praise the Lord. One thing leads to another. Then on Wednesday, I mentioned 2 weeks ago, probably you remember this, my Mexican friend Raymond. So we were going to meet at a Cracker Barrel on Wednesday. So I got there. I was there early in Terre Haute, and he called me, and about a half hour early, he said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "Well, I'm at Take 5 getting the oil changed." He said, "I'll be over." And I said, "Well, I'm just getting the oil changed. We could just meet at Cracker Barrel. I'll be over, and I got stuff to share with you." So he parked next to my car, came in, and he started talking about, he had a bunch of papers. He said, "I've been studying the last days." So all during the oil change, he was telling me what he's been studying about the rapture, the time period. He said the Lord opened up another ministry for him. On Saturdays, he's working with drug abusers at a new center they've opened up in Terre Haute. He said last Saturday, he had 20 people studying the Bible. Wow. On Saturday morning. So, and he's in crisis drug. He was telling me he's still praying for people. They're in the bondage of drugs, and he's praying, and people are getting delivered. They're getting saved. And how many of you know the Lord's working? Amen. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Hey, who else has a testimony? Praise. I know Buck's got one. Go ahead, Buck. Oh, sure.
Morning.
Good morning.
I can hardly wait to hear what I'm going to say. The Lord has touched my wife and I in a very special way in the last since last Wednesday. And my wife, make a long story shorter, had a really bad fall in our kitchen. And at first, we didn't think it was too concerning. She got up and walked around and so forth. But, of course, if you know Diane, she's going to do that if she's got breath in her body. But anyhow, in just a few minutes, she was in excruciating pain. And we loaded her up and headed for Carl Hospital in Champaign, emergency room. And I had to stop in in Homer to get her rearranged in the seat where she could even stand the pain of the ride. And she ended up she fell on her right hip. She was kind of leaning this way and holding onto the strap over the door to take weight off of her hip. And that's the way we went the rest of the way to the emergency room. And we were both thinking and praying that, oh my, the emergency room is usually so crowded, and you know, am I gonna have to wait to even get her out of the car, et cetera, et cetera. Everything that the devil wants to put in your mind went through our mind, I guess. And we pulled up, not a soul there. I pulled right up to the door, ran inside, told them what the problem was. Right away, they had a nurse out there with a wheelchair, and we got her out of the car and got her inside. That's Jesus' story number one. That was only the first one of what we were about to experience the next couple of days. Of course, through Bonnie Jo and Malia and some of them, the word had spread because we were wanting prayer, and it was coming. And that was the first step of it right there when we got to no problem getting in to start with. My finding a parking place, that's a different story. But anyway, we got her in, and doctor saw her fairly quickly and started trying to determine what her problem was. Still in terrible pain, but I'll have to say, I'm trying to hurry this up. But
oh, no
hurry.
No, hurry.
The care over there was excellent. I don't know why we had so many doctors. We had 5 doctors in 2 days watching over her, and countless nurses that were special. But anyway, later the same evening when she was in all that pain, she said, hey, Buck. I said, what? The pain's gone. I don't have any pain. Well, I wonder how that happened. There's all you people, all the prayers going up for her. She's stiff and sore, sure. Very deep bruise there. She even had some internal bleeding as a result of the fall. It's pretty serious. And this is Mother's Day. This is Father's Day. We've already had Mother's Day, yeah. I think I saw you same people here. But anyway, come on, 86-year-old mind. You know it's in there. Come out of here somewhere, somehow. We felt those prayers all through the stay, one thing after another. I've lost my train of thought and what I wanted to share, maybe it'll come back. Anyway, the prayers, I remember, thank God. All you husbands in here, this is Father's Day, this is an appropriate time to say this. Tell your wives you love them. I don't care if it's Father's Day. You tell them that you love them, how much you love them. Those of us that are fortunate enough to still have our wives with us, because there was a time, and the Lord said I wouldn't get emotional during this. I'm trying. There was a time Wednesday night that she lost consciousness. And the nurse was talking to her. I think there was a doctor in there and myself, and she just had a fixed stare. And we couldn't bring her around. I was practically hollering at her. And the point I'm trying to make is, in a brief second, I realized how much I loved that woman. And I thought, is this it? Is this how we're going to part? But she came around, and kind of know the rest of the story. She continued to improve. She had blood pressure problems. Every time she'd get up, her blood pressure would go down to 90, and then she lay down. But anyway, they got that figured out. What a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful music we had this morning. Thank you, Mike. Mr. Campbell, you're a tough act to follow, buddy, I'll tell you that. But what a wonderful thing for a 96-year-old man to get up here and testify that Amen. The Lord's walked with him for 75 years. Is that what you said? Wow. And I pray that for each one of us. May we all get to be 96 and just learn to praise him more every day. And for whatever I've forgotten to say, I apologize, but I think I got the gist across. And we appreciate this church and the love of this church and the people in it so much. And Diane is so dedicated to her responsibilities in this church. On the way home, the big conversation was, who's going to make the coffee? We've got to have that coffee done. Now, who's going to make it? Well, I don't know, honey. Well, watch this stop on the way, and I'll make it. And I said, no, I don't think we'll do it. We can surely find someone. So what ended up yesterday afternoon, yours truly is up here making coffee, and she's giving me instructions over the phone. And we got it done, and bless Mike. Who are we going to get to plug it in? Oh, boy, that's a biggie, you know. I said, well, surely we can find somebody. So, yeah, she said, I called Mike Campbell. He's going to plug it in. And bless his heart, he got here early. He plugged it in. The only problem was...
Hey, but we had a problem.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting to that. It wasn't plugged in or wasn't turned on. It was plugged in. And all our early coffee drinkers were just sitting around waiting. But the coffee was made and... God is so good. I just can't thank him enough this morning. I'm kind of bubbling over, and I'm taking Chuck's time, and I'm sorry. But God bless all of you. We appreciate you so much, and keep praying, that she will slow down. Even the doctors told her that. So, and Brooke's been there, her daughter, and she's kept her pretty well under her thumb. In fact, Diane said, I'm coming to church, and Brooke said, you're not going to church. So you see who won that bargain. Thank you very much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, and just a reminder, I know you all know this, but this is the Lord's service. So it's not about me speaking. It's not about what we want to do. We want to glorify Jesus. That's the bottom line, right? It's not about me. It's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. Hey, anybody else? The Holy Spirit has freedom. Anybody else want to testify, praise? Anybody feel led? Hey, we do want to introduce, in fact, I'll start with this. Get my bookmark out. Does this look familiar, Willow? Our 5-year-old granddaughter, Willow, made this for me, a bookmark. She said, you like crosses, so there's a cross and Jesus is on it. So we praise the Lord. We've got Willow, Woodrow, Oakley, and Kia. So they're 5, 3, and 1. So you can ask Kia what she does in her spare time. So they're busy. And in fact, they just had a when the Channel 3 News had a special, the B&K Homestead, so they had, what, a 3-minute or so little segment on TV, that was like 3 days ago or something. So anyway, they got, what all animals do you have, Willow? You got dogs, you got sheep, you got cows, and you got chickens. Is that about everything? Oh, and she got a snail when she was at our house the other day. So they got a lot over there. Praise the Lord. Hey, you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, we'll start with verse 11, a real familiar passage. Luke 15, 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all that he had, a severe famine arose in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the paws that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and come and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, and now he has been found. And they begin to make merry. Now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me even a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood on prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, and now he is found. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we give you praise for who you are. You are the great I am, Lord. You sit on the throne in heaven. You have power
over all things. You have control over all things. And Lord Jesus, without you, nothing that has been made would have been made. You're the creator of it all, Lord. And Lord, how we give you praise. That, Lord, you desire us to have fellowship with you, to love on you, to be friends of the Creator, the great Creator, Lord, to walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We give you praise. And Lord, just thank you for this church, how this church has ministered to me and all to our family, so many. Over so many years, we pray blessing upon this church. And Lord, right now, may we listen to what you have to say. Lord, you want to speak to each and every one of us. Lord, open our spiritual ears that we might hear. And Lord, give us, Lord, the empowerment to not only be hearers, but to be doers of your word, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us would leave here different than when we came in, Lord, not because of me, not because of anyone here, but because of the power, the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Speak to every heart here. We will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wondered what it would take, the minimum it would take to make you content? Have you ever thought about that? What if you didn't have a house? What if you didn't have any money in the bank account? What if you had a terminal disease? Could you still experience the joy of the Lord? If you had almost nothing? Isn't it amazing? The Apostle Paul became so close to the Lord. Picture this. So close to the Lord that he was able to say this with certainty. I have learned to be content in all things. Isn't that amazing? I have learned to be content in all things, regardless of the circumstances, whether I have money, I don't have money, whether I'm free, whether I'm in prison, whether I am healthy, whether I have a thorn in the flesh, whether I am hungry or have plenty to eat. He came to that place spiritually that regardless of the circumstances around him, he lived in fellowship with the Lord and in joy with the Lord. You can have that too. I can have that too. Isn't that amazing? I still remember Larry Cochran telling me he was somewhere in South America. I think it might have been in Colombia. And they were holding these services there. And there was an old woman that after one of the services said, I want you to come over to my place and we're going to have tea. He said, I'll be glad to come over. And he said he went over and basically she lived in a cardboard shanty about 10 feet by 10 feet big. She had two little pots and she had a little fire there and she fixed some tea and she had nothing, but she had this, the joy of the Lord. Just smile, just total joy. talking about how Jesus continued to help her, how Jesus ministered to her. And I began to think as he told me, am I there spiritually? Am I there? I want to be there. Have I learned to be content in every situation? Even when there's pain involved, hardship involved, financial problems. There is joy in Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? There's joy in Jesus Christ. And here in the parable that we just read, and I'm sure all of you are familiar, think about this father who had two sons. And the younger son, he had plenty there. His father had money, had servants, he had plenty of food, but he was bored. How many of you know that it can be boring on the farm? Can it be? Maybe Jim and Brian might remember this. But what years ago, 2012, when I was living there at the Bex, I would take hay rides, and Tony would let me use the M tractor, and I would hook it up, and sometimes the Beck girls would go with us, and our grandsons would go, and I'd take them around, and I'd act like I was a tour guide. That he does remember. To the left, there's a cornfield. To the right, there's a bean field. A few miles down the road. To the right, there's a cornfield. To the left, there's a bean field. And after a while, the Beck girls didn't want to go anymore. We've seen this before. Boring. So here's this young boy, he's bored to tears. And here's Satan again. He's whispering in his ear, hey, there's excitement in the city. There's excitement in the city. You know what you need? You need some cash. You need some money. You can do your own thing. You can go and you can be your own boss. Here's the key. Have you ever noticed this? The more you try to please yourself, the less joy you experience. Yeah. Isn't that true? You look at narcissists, hey, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. They are the most miserable individuals you can be around. The more you try to please yourself, the less contentment you have. Isn't that true? If you save your life, you'll lose it. Isn't this interesting? You lose your life, you will gain it. This is past week, Catherine, one of the ladies we work with CEF, she's about 20 years old. She said, I just cannot wait to see what the Lord's going to do. Maybe he's going to send me to Latin America. Maybe he's going to send me to Terre Haute. But she said this, I give my whole life to Jesus, and she has joy galore. Whatever he wants. I don't care. Send me to Africa. That's what he wants. I want one thing. Here's the key. I want one thing. I want to be in the center of God's will. But here's this young boy, I'm bored to farm. All these weeds are getting pulled. I don't like it out here. Dull. If I just had money, I could just do my own thing. Goes to his father, I don't want to wait till you're dead. You think of how cool this is. I don't want to wait till you're dead to get your money. I want your money now, okay? I want my share of the money now. Isn't it amazing the dad allowed that? He didn't try to argue with them. Sometimes it does no good to try to argue with somebody. Isn't that true? Pearls before swine?
okay, if that's what you want. And boy, as soon as he gets that money, oh, wow, I'm free. Maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars he had in today's money. I can do whatever I want. I am free. He just didn't realize he was a slave to sin, right? I'm going to do what I want. I don't have to listen to my dad. I don't have to listen to a curfew. I don't have to go out and feed the livestock. I don't have to weed anything. I don't have to work out in the heat. I can do what I want when I want to do it. So there. Has that ton of money? Ooh. Happy days are here again. You see, ooh, I can do what I want. Spends his money on prostitutes. I can picture him going into the tavern, can't you? Hey, their drinks are on me. Whatever you want. I got the cash. Get whatever you want. Prostitutes, whiskey, whatever. Hey, I'm living high. I can do what I'm free. So we thought. But then one day, no money. Think about this for a second. Once the money was gone, his friends were gone. Isn't that interesting? See, here's a big difference between Christian friends and non-Christian friends. Non-Christian friends will leave you when you're in some real tough problems, right? Typically. Now, as long as you got the money, you go to the tavern, hey, get whatever you want. They'll be with you. But Christian friends rejoice when you rejoice. Here's the key, though. They weep when you weep. Isn't that different? They'll stand with you. I remember so many of you giving me encouragement in some of the darker times in my life. People right here, so many different ones. I remember when Gary Holycross was going through the cancer. Do you remember that, Gary? A lot of us cut off our hair in support. We were praying. We were brotherhood together. Don't you love that? When you have brothers and sisters that will stand by you, not only when things are going great, but in times of hardship, how encouraging that is. When you experience that, when you're there for other brothers and sisters in Christ. But all of his friends left. Hey, see ya! And here's a key here. No one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. Hey, I bought all that beer for you. That's too bad. I'm sorry. I don't have anything to give you. And then he began to experience something he had never experienced before. Hunger pains. Never experienced that. When he was there at home, even the servants had more enough than enough to eat, and all of a sudden he's hungry. Hey, this isn't so good. And then he had to humble himself to feed pigs. What a disgrace for a young Jewish man. And he became so hungry that pig slop began to look good. You have to be pretty hungry. And in the midst of his misery, here's the key. He came to himself.
He came to himself. This is crazy! What was I thinking? I had a great life. I walked out on all of it. Now I'm hungry. I'm a horrible situation. And here's the key. He said this, I have sinned against God. I have sinned against my Father. You know, he wasn't making excuses. He claimed his sin. I'll tell you, the ones that I worry the most about are the people who don't think that they've sinned much. There's no other way to say it than this. If you are not saved, your sins, you're a dirty, rotten dog. That's really what it comes down to. I am. We all are. It's not that we kind of need a Savior. Well, I've made a few bad decisions in my life. Well, I've made a few mistakes in my life. No, I am an utter deplorable sinner. Once you confess that and you say, Jesus, I need you, things change, don't they? We can't claim any of our own righteousness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. He came to himself. I have sinned against God. I have sinned against my Father. I will go back to my Father and I will tell him that and I will plead for his mercy. And can you picture how hard that must have been when he's walking back to his Father? What will my Father say? Will my Father reject me? I've spent all the money he gave me. Half of his fortune is gone. How can I face him? Will he reject me? Will he scream at me? Will he disown me? I imagine all that journey there, all kinds of thoughts going through his mind. What's it going to be like? Then he sees his home in the distance and begins to walk towards his home. His Father sees him and runs to him and loves on him. Can you picture that scene? Father, I sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me in as a hired servant. Picture the Father kissing his son's neck. Bring a robe for him. Bring a gold ring. Kill the fatted calf. My son was lost and now he is alive. Now he's been found. He was dead and now he has been found. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if the story ended there? The party starts up. But then the older son hears all this music, this celebration, dancing. He calls one of the servants, what's going on? Well, your brother's come back and your dad has ordered the fatted calf to be killed. We're going to have this big party. What? What? I'm not going to a party. What? Goes to his room. Sulks. Dad finds out about it. Goes to see his son, his oldest son. What's going on? I've always obeyed you. I've always done what you told me to do. And yet when this son of yours comes back, after spending half of your fortune on prostitutes,
You kill for him the fatted calf. You wouldn't even give me a goat that I might make merry with my friends, but you kill the fatted calf for him. And the dad looked at him and said, all that I have is yours, but it is right that we should celebrate. Your brother was dead and now he is alive. He was lost and now he has been found. Through the power of Jesus Christ, you can love and forgive anybody. Isn't that true? And isn't there freedom in that? You know, it's really interesting. The Lord's been talking to me. And of course, I mean, all of us, when we're in communication with the Lord, he reveals things to us. But the Lord's revealed some things to me that are painful to admit. And the Lord has revealed this to me, that there have been people in the past, and that always happens, that happens to each and every one of us, but there have been people in my past as pastor, whatever, who have come out against me very strongly. And the Lord has revealed to me, I need to love them more. You know, there's a difference between tolerating someone and loving someone. Isn't there a difference? And the Lord has revealed to me, and the Lord's given me victory there. And I can honestly say this, people who have come out against me, and of course, many times that's been my fault. I have to take blame for that. But there have been people who have come out against me, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I've gone beyond tolerating them. Now I love them. Isn't that great? That's not me. That's Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that I think hinder people the most in their spiritual walk with the Lord is unforgiveness. Do you think that's true? I hear it all the time. Well, you don't know what my brother did to me. Well, you don't know. I've heard pastor. You don't know what my church member did to me. You don't know what lies this person said about me. The list goes on and on. And now when I hear that, I said, I think I know what they did to Jesus. I think I know that. You picture this. Jesus never did a single thing wrong, never sinned once. And can you imagine the restraint of the Heavenly Father to see His Son? Really, I don't think we have any comprehension what Jesus went through on the cross. To see His Son up there, bleeding profusely from His hands and His feet and His head where the crown of thorns were on Him. What if that was your son? What if that was your daughter? And yet Jesus said this, Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Let me tell you where freedom and joy come. Freedom and joy, it doesn't really come through just doing your own thing, having enough money, a big enough house. It doesn't come through that. It comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when you forgive, you love everybody, there's joy in that. Some of you might remember me sharing this, but this had a profound effect on me. I was just in my early 20s as a pastor, and I'd go see an older lady, and she lived about 2 miles, Asbury Chapel, from where the church I pastored. I would have to hammer on her door because she was 90% deaf. And half the time she wouldn't hear me. I almost banged the door down, and she was legally blind. And every now and then she would hear, and she, "Oh, who is it?" "Pastor Chuck." "Who?" It's hard to communicate. But this woman had such a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. I go into her house. She had no air conditioning. And within 1 minute in the summertime, sweat was dripping off my nose. Her family said, "We're going to get you air conditioning." And she said, "No, I can live. I'm fine. I don't need that." She ended up burying her husband and 6 out of 7 of her children. Blind, deaf, and I still don't understand how she was able to do this. She didn't have indoor plumbing. She had an outhouse. Her relatives said, "We're going to make an indoor bathroom." "No, you're not. I don't need that." And I still remember this. I was sitting, sweating profusely, sitting on the couch talking to her. I had to scream, and I said, "I just feel sorry for you and all the hardships you face." She said, "Don't feel sorry for me. I'm living in Jesus. I'm living in Jesus. All of my kids are saved. I'm going to glory. I'm going to be there with them." You know, I ended up leaving and I felt this tall. That's where I want to be. I hope I get there someday. There is meaning and there is joy in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And dear Lord Jesus, we do give you praise and glory. It is all about you. It is all about your kingdom. And there is meaning. Satan wants us to believe, hey, you do your own thing, you'll find contentment, you'll find joy, you'll find meaning. It's when we surrender everything to you that we find true joy and purpose in life. And Lord Jesus, as this altar is open, as we sing that last hymn, if there's anyone here who has never received you as Lord and Savior, I pray today will be the day the gospel again so simple. We've all messed up. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus, there is freedom in Jesus. There is forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. We trust in Him. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that's harboring unforgiveness and love. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just speak that this altar is open. Do whatever you want to do. This isn't my service. This isn't our service. This is your service. And Lord, as this altar is open, I pray, Lord, that we would leave here free in you, that we'd experience the freedom that only you can give. Lord, glorify yourself. We will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.